Topic 1. Supporting better and equitable complaint resolution. Kaupapa 1. Kia mana orite te whakatau amo amo. In this section, we set out and ask you questions about 1. Issues we have identified for supporting better and equitable complaint resolution and the case for change. And 2. Suggestions for the Act and Code to address those issues. Issues. The primary goal of the HDC is to promote and protect the rights of people accessing health and disability services and, to that end, facilitate the fair, simple, speedy and efficient resolution of complaints, Section 6 of the Act. Fair, simple, speedy and efficient balances two aims. On the one hand, the early resolution of suitable complaints directly with the service provider. On the other hand, quality services for the public and proper accountability of providers through independent complaint resolution. HDC is charged with ensuring that the purpose of the Act is met as a whole and that this balance of interests is managed appropriately. We are hearing that our complaint processes are not always working and complaint resolution principles of fair, simple, speedy and efficient are not being met as well as they could be. 1. There's a call for more people-centred processes, including more effective communication, trauma-informed approaches and culturally responsive resolution. There's also a desire to focus on preserving and restoring relationships alongside considerations of public safety, accountability and service improvement. 2. Expectations for culturally responsive practice could be clearer and more inclusive, benefiting all New Zealanders by promoting understanding of rights and empowering individuals to raise concerns. 3. Certain groups face barriers to accessing complaint resolution processes, particularly in ongoing provider-consumer relationships or in residential care settings because of a fear of damaging that relationship or impacting their ability to access care. 4. Increased complaint numbers are impacting timelines. While nearly 70% of complaints to HDC are closed within 6 months, the growing number of complaints is affecting assessment and resolution times. Delays can lead to increased stress for all involved parties and diminish the effectiveness of recommendations for quality improvement. There is an opportunity to consider how the Act and the Code can be strengthened to support all New Zealanders to raise and resolve their concerns directly with the provider, where appropriate, in particular through considering changes to Right 10, Right to Complain, and best use of the advocacy service. Supporting self-advocacy and more effective use of direct resolution would enable HDC to concentrate on complaints that need our attention the most, improve communication and timeliness, and expand our use of culturally responsive resolution processes. Enabling approaches such as restorative practice and hoho te rongo in complaint resolution can, in appropriate cases, support engagement, reduce the risk of further harm, and increase opportunities for healing, learning, and improvement. Note 2. See, for example, the National Collaborative for Restorative Initiatives in Health. Hei maunga rongo ki ngā iwi. Envisioning a restorative health system in Aotearoa, New Zealand, Wellington, the National Collaborative for Restorative Initiatives in Health 2023. We note that Te Tahu Hauora, Health Quality and Safety Commission, encourages providers to use restorative practice and hoho te rongo in adverse events where harm has been caused because of healthcare. Note 3. Te Tahu Hauora, Health Quality and Safety Commission, Healing, Learning and Improving from Harm, National Adverse Events Policy, 2023. Te whakaora, te ako me te whakapai ake I te kino. Te kaupapahere a motu na mana mahi tūkino, 2023, Wellington. Te tahu hauora, Health Quality and Safety Commission, 2023. What we're doing already. HDC is committed to continuous quality improvement of our processes, including a focus on making our complaint processes accessible for Māori, tangata whaikaha disabled people, Pacific peoples and groups who experience inequitable outcomes in the health and disability system. Recent initiatives introduced by HDC include the following. 1. Implementing hui a whānau and hoho te rongo options for complaint management where appropriate. HDC continues to explore the use of these options in complaint resolution. 2, strengthening our triage process to focus on equity, identification of systemic issues, and supporting early resolution where possible. 3, introducing surveys to see how we can improve how people, including providers, experience our process and to track the impacts of changes we make. 4, introducing clinical navigators to help guide people in the complaint process, assist them in understanding the care provided, and support early resolution where possible. And 5, introducing processes to fast-track complaints where possible and work out more proactively with complainants and providers to achieve earlier resolution of more complex complaints. Question 1.1. Did we cover the main issues about supporting better and equitable complaint resolution? Legislative suggestions for change. We seek feedback on the following suggestions for changes to the Act and Code to support better and equitable complaint resolution for all New Zealanders. A. Broaden the purpose statement of the Act. The current purpose statement, Section 6 of the Act, is to promote and protect the rights of health consumers and disability services consumers, and, to that end, to facilitate the fair, simple, speedy and efficient resolution of complaints relating to infringements of those rights. While the Act's purpose sets out principles for good complaint processes, it does not focus the HDC on the outcomes the Act and the Code should deliver for people. We have heard from people making complaints and providers that HDC too often focuses on processes rather than the people at the centre of the complaint. Broadening the principles for complaint resolution and the purpose statement to include a focus on outcomes for people would create a different balance of interests for the HDC to manage. We want to hear from you whether the purpose statement should be broadened, and if so, what words should be used. The most common suggestions we heard was to incorporate the concept of upholding mana into the purpose statement. Mana, one's dignity and authority, is a concept from Te Ao Māori that describes a spiritual force or power that resides in all peoples, in objects or the environment, and includes respect and autonomy. See also Topic 2, Proposal. A. More explicitly incorporate tikanga into the code, about incorporating the concept of mana into the code. An example of where mana is in legislation is the purpose statement of the Substance Addiction Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act 2017, which includes to protect and enhance the person receiving compulsory treatment's mana and dignity. Implementation of this legislation was supported by workforce guidance and training. B. Clarify cultural responsiveness. Right 1, number 3, provides that every consumer has the right to be provided with services that take into account the needs, values and beliefs of different cultural, religious, social and ethnic groups, including the needs, values and beliefs of Māori. While Right 1, number 3, sets important expectations for culturally competent services, we heard that it isn't very clear. It also doesn't reflect modern language or understanding of cultural responsiveness. It is unclear whether tangata whaikaha, disabled people and groups with cultural identity, such as the LGBTIQA+ community, are included. It doesn't reflect that people hold multiple identities, and the placement of Māori at the end is othering, reading as an afterthought. We propose rewording the code alongside sector guidance so that Right 1, number 3, is inclusive and sets expectations of cultural responsiveness that align with sector standards. We believe such a change would strengthen equity in the code and support all communities to understand their rights. Modern understandings of cultural responsiveness include acknowledging the right of Māori to bring Te Ao Māori, Māori worldviews to health and disability services, and the importance of values such as respect, service, leadership, family, belonging, and relationships within Pacific cultures. Cultural responsiveness also recognises the culture, language, needs, values, and beliefs of groups such as tangata whaikaha, disabled people, people from LGBTQIA+ communities, as well as people from diverse ethnic groups. Note 4. See, for example, Medical Council of New Zealand, Statement on Cultural Safety, https://www.mcnz.org.nz/assets/standards/b 7171D139DCA /statement-on-cultural-safety.pdf, October 2019. Culturally safe services include providers being committed to addressing and holding themselves accountable to any of their biases, attitudes and structures and their impact on the quality of services provided. Note 5. Courtesy Jones, R. Tiffany Leach, D. et al. Why cultural safety rather than cultural competency is required to achieve health equity, a literature review and recommended definition. International Journal for Equity in Health, 2019, 18174. C. Clarify the role of whānau. The rights in the code are based on the direct relationship between an individual consumer and a provider. Code rights do not extend to whānau. It is possible that such an extent could, in some cases, be against the wishes of the individual consumer and breach their privacy and cause them unwanted stress. The code provides rights for individuals to have support people and whānau involved in their care at the consumer's discretion, including explicitly providing consumers with the right to support. Right 8. Other rights in the code also support including whānau where appropriate. For example, it is often an expected standard of care, right 4, number 1. It can be culturally appropriate, right 1, number 3. And it can be essential for effective communication, right 5. For many people, the involvement of whānau in all aspects of their care, including decision-making, is an important aspect of who they are and how they want to interact with health and disability services. It is the lived experience of many tangata whaikaha disabled people that whānau are central to enabling them to live the lives they want and to fully participate in their care. It is equally important that tangata whaikaha disabled people maintain their autonomy to determine when and to what extent whānau are involved. Similarly, whānau engagement where wanted is associated with better outcomes for tangata whai ora. Within Te Ao Māori, decision-making is often communal, drawing on the principles of whakapapa, genealogical ties, and whānaunatanga, familial kinships. For many Pacific and Asian cultures, decision-making is also traditionally made within a collective rather than individually. For children and young people, the involvement of a parent or caregiver may be necessary or helpful to provide consent. Under the law, people can consent or refuse to consent when they are 16 years of age. However, this does not prevent them from giving consent when they are younger, depending on the nature of the treatment and their intellectual maturity. While the code allows for people to have their whānau involved in their care to the extent determined by the person, we are hearing that how this works in practice is poorly understood. Therefore, we propose changes to the code supported by guidance to clarify the role of whānau in the consumer-provider relationship and to help providers to enable whānau participation appropriately. We propose 1. Changing the wording in Right 3, Dignity and Independence, from Independence to Autonomy to recognise the interdependence people often have with whānau and support networks. 2. Strengthening Right 8, Support, to include the right to have whānau involved even where they cannot be present physically. And 3. Clarifying Right 10, Right to Complain, to explicitly allow for complaints to be made by support people on behalf of the consumer. D. Ensure gender-inclusive language. Currently, the code uses the language him or her to describe people in the code. We propose changes to update the language in the code to be gender inclusive, making it more accessible to all people. E. Protect against retaliation. We heard that there may be barriers to making a complaint because of concern that it may negatively affect a person's ongoing relationship with their provider or impact their access to care. This is particularly the case where people are reliant on the care provided, for example, disabled or older people in residential facilities, people who are reliant on home carer support, including where the carer may also be a family member, and people who require strictly controlled medications such as for opioid substitution treatment. Currently, Right 10 does not explicitly protect consumers from retaliation from providers. However, people's right to complain does not end once they have made the complaint, and the code does provide for other rights that would protect against retaliation where a complaint has been made. This includes the right to be treated with respect, Right 1, freedom from discrimination and coercion, Right 2, and services of an appropriate standard, Right 4. We propose changes to the code to include a non-retaliation clause in Right 10, right to complain, to support people to feel safe to raise concerns and complain. An example of a non-retaliation clause in legislation is Section 22 of the Protected Disclosures, Protection of Whistleblowers, Act 2022. This prevents a person, A, from treating or threatening to treat another person, B, less favourably because of a protected disclosure. F. Clarify provider complaint processes. We heard from people making complaints and from providers that the processes and timeframes for providers to respond to complaints set in Right 10, Right to Complain, are overly prescriptive and confusing. There may be an opportunity to streamline Right 10 and include principle-based direction to provide more clarity and responsiveness. Providers often relay their frustration that complaints to HDC could have been better resolved directly between the person and the provider. However, feedback from consumers and whānau suggests that often providers' complaint processes are invisible or unclear. We heard that by comparison, the visibility of HDC's posters encourages people to come to HDC first. It is important for providers to communicate how to use their complaint process to support people to uphold their right to make complaints and to encourage early resolution. We propose changes to Right 10 to simplify and set clearer expectations for provider complaint processes, including promoting the right to complain. G. Strengthen the advocacy service. The advocacy service assists to mitigate the power imbalance between people and providers by supporting people to self-advocate and resolve their concerns directly with providers. The advocacy service also helps in raising people's awareness of their rights under the code. The Act sets out the functions of advocates and provides for HDC to appoint an independent director of advocacy who oversees and contracts the advocacy service. The Act also provides for HDC to make guidelines to direct how the advocacy service should operate. The role of the advocacy service set out in the Act includes to promote the code and resolution options for complaints, to help consumers with informed consent, and to help consumers make complaints and to seek resolution with providers. We want to hear from you what opportunities there may be to strengthen the role of the advocacy service to better meet the needs of people and communities and support collaboration with HDC. H. Improve the language of complaint pathways in the Act. We heard that the language of complaint resolution pathways to take no further action and mediation conference are confusing. No further action has been described as a disempowering description and not reflective of the work that is undertaken to assess and resolve the complaint. We seek feedback on rewording, for example, to no investigative action to support more effective communication with complainants. The process of mediation conference is specifically prescribed in Section 61 of the Act, and it has been suggested that this does not allow for a flexible resolution response to the needs and circumstances of those involved in a complaint. We seek feedback on using different languages, such as facilitated resolution, to capture other forms of resolution, such as conciliation, and to explicitly recognize and provide for resolution practices from a te ao Māori perspective. Questions. 1.2. What do you think of our suggestions for supporting better and equitable complaint resolution, and what impacts could they have? 1.3. What other changes, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider for supporting better and equitable complaint processes?